This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition, 6:39 p.m., and we're taking a look at Vision 2020, Caroline.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ezra. It's no longer Vision 2020.
Say what?
It is Vision 2025.
You know, from Vision 2020 to TN50 and it's 25. Just, what's the story, Caroline?
So it was announced at the Nikkei conference yesterday, so we're getting quite a few deja vu moments from that conference.
From the Nikkei conference
in
Japan.
We had the Proton 2.0. Yeah. Today it's Vision 2020/2025. You know, very play it again, Sam. But, you know, with variations, really, because both of these have been associated with personal legacy, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, that's what our Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, has said. You know, he said that when he stepped down in 2003, he actually did believe that we could achieve Vision 2020. He went on to say succeeding prime ministers then changed the policies and methods that were used to grow the country. And he found that those, I suppose, these policies that are currently in place are incompatible. So
yeah.
The right policies are being drafted, he says. He hopes they'll be implemented soon, and maybe by 2025, can we achieve them?
Yeah, this is interesting simply because, you know, everything about Vision 2020 when it was introduced way back when, it had this sort of outer space, far, you know, in the future kind of hope of not just the infrastructure, but about what Malaysians could be and these all these aspirational qualities. And now we're only 2 years away. Mm-hmm. Just this notion that let's just extend it by an additional 5 years I don't know if it was completely necessary to do this necessarily.
As in put out a broad vision?
In that, I think the Vision 2020 thing, we've sort of come to terms that might not happen, right?
Because we've all Tun Mahathir came to terms with it at one point before. Obviously, the new Malaysia was, you know, forget about Vision 2020. It's
that's
not
right.
Happen.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering whether this 2025 thing is remarkably different in any shape, way, or form.
I guess, you know, the thing is this: in this new Malaysia, do these types of statements or broad visions feel any different? And I ask because I think that buy-in is really crucial.
Yeah.
You know, TN50 saw a lot of skeptical eyebrows being raised. So with Vision 2025, you got to ask yourself, what's the deal? Because I think it was YB Khairi Jamaluddin who ran the TN50 sessions, mm-hmm. National Transformation 2050, I think it was. He called it a bottom-up initiative. You know, a continuum of Vision 2020 and encompassing aspirations of the youth, part and parcel of the whole Malaysian narrative. It was kind of reduced to TN50 versus Vision 2020.
But more than anything else, these types of, I guess, approaches, they're a roadmap for a country, right? It's a roadmap to head towards the status of being a first world. We've gone out of being just, you know, a country that produces and manufactures things. We're using human capital a lot more, and we're reliant on a lot of other things than just from what we used to be in about 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing. So in that respect, I'm inclined to agree that it doesn't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive, because so one of the things that was pointed out with TN50 was that it was supposed to be a bottom-up initiative,
nurturing younger leaders.
That's right. Yeah. But Vision 2020 was more of a top-down thing, but I don't think it needs to be mutually exclusive. I think it needs to happen. I mean, the reason we are where we are, right? The new Malaysia, you know, was founded on everybody acting together.
The new Malaysia.
The new Malaysia. That's what I'm saying.
Let's find out what our analysts have to say. Chiming in on this is Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Amir, thank you very much for making the time to speak with us on the evening edition. So what we understand is that Vision 2020 will be extended to 2075 in order for its targets to be fully achieved. But do you think other things will be incorporated along the way to make Vision 2025 a little bit more contemporary?
Of course, we must remember that the original document, Wawasan 2020, Vision 2020, was conceived in 1990. And undoubtedly that the context of the times then were a lot different from today. Socially, goals like Bangsa Malaysia is something that we should always continue to strive for. Economically, on the other hand, goals like achieving high-income nation and industrial self-sufficiency still remains relevant till today. But we have to take stock of things like digital economy and challenges to our already expanding welfare state. Hence, the crafting of V2025 will do well to incorporate original goals as well as adding new elements that cater to the needs of the times now.
Absolutely. So, Amir, talk to us, I guess, about the parts within Vision 2020 that have been achieved so far and what can be reasonably done within the next 5 years.
Well, if you remember Vision 2020, there were 9 challenges identified under the vision itself. But in terms of measurable deliverables, economic goals were very much at the crux of that document. What was initially envisioned was Malaysia achieving high income status, which was, I think, the core of the whole vision, which was GDP of 920 billion in 1990 ringgit terms by 2020. In this respect, we are well aware that previous government had a different idea about how high income status should be measured. The previous administration took GNI per capita approach with Najib, then confident that we would achieve high income status by 2020. Perhaps I think this government has different ideas about how it should be measured and sees attainment being delayed by the 5 years. It is, of course, achievable as long as the economy continue to grow at a certain rate that I'm sure they will disclose in the near future. What is more challenging, however, are the social goals such as establishing a Bangsa Malaysia. As of late, this government has not articulated how it intends to move beyond the politics of race, although there are good signs in the polls as to how people voted. For sure, we've seen big moves as well, such as the appointment of YB Lim Guan Eng as finance minister and Tommy Thomas as attorney general. Significant mental barriers of race have been broken. But perhaps we should and can do more. And we must remember that Tun Dr. Mahathir will be 100 by 2025 if he lives by then. And we can only wish him the best on attaining this vision.
Sure.
You know, that's right. You know, Tun Mahathir will be 100 years old. He'll be a century by 2025. Thank you very much for pointing that out. Mm. And, you know, when BFM spoke with Tan Sri Rafida Aziz on the Breakfast Grill not too long ago, she said that we should do away with slogans. Now, do you think we should do the same with these grand visions as well?
Well, slogans are part and parcel of politics, yeah. Whether it was Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society in the US or David Cameron's Big Society in the UK, more often than not, politicians need some form of overarching narrative to clearly articulate their visions and ideas. In fact, you can even argue that Vision 2025 is part of the same strand. Now, what we should be asking is where do we draw the line with these slogans? And sloganeering enough in this day and age may not be sufficient. And where should we draw the line when political slogans somehow seep into public services that I think should not be politicized in the first place? We've seen this happening in the past and today, from the political commodification of housing projects to healthcare initiatives, and even PASAs are renamed with certain slogans. That's overstepping the line, I think. That's where we should stop. And I, to an extent, agree with Tan Sri Rafida Aziz on the need not to over-sloganize, if there's such a word,
right,
in Malaysia.
Well, Amir, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was Amir Farid, the Director of Strategy at KRA Group, giving us his thoughts on how Vision 2020 is morphed into Vision 2025.
Now on the line we have also Bridget Welsh, Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University. Thank you very much for holding, Bridget. Now, Amir was saying earlier that despite Vision 2020 being conceived in 1990, there are still some things that are relevant today, but that we should also expand it to include the digital economy. What do you think are some other goals that should be included in Vision 2025?
Well, I think there are two elements that I think are going to be brought in. One is this issue of political reform. You know, things such as term limits and the anti-corruption drive. These are things that are going to be part and parcel of dealing with a new type of agenda of the Mahathir government. And that has to be part of that. And then I think the second element has to be to sort of fix some of the mistakes of the previous government. And the one that has gotten the most attention, of course, has been on the national debt. But I think, you know, there's also been a lot of policies that have gone off track, be it in issues of inequality, social inequality, issues associated with poverty, basically stimulating the business environment in a kind of more inclusive fashion. So I think that there will be new elements that are going to be part of it. I think what we are going to see a kind of more social democratic dimensions that actually address some of these problems that have worsened under the previous government and have only been ameliorated by kind of short-term kind of cash transfer issues such as BRIM, which actually have not had more long-standing addressing the kind of core fundamental causes of some of these problems. So I think Vision 2025 is going to have a much broader scope, both politically and socially.
And Bridget, yesterday we all learned of Tun Mahathir's plan to potentially have another national car, and today he's pushing for Vision 2020 to be pushed back by about 5 years or so. This throwback to the 80s has some of us feeling perhaps a little bit uncomfortable. Is our new Prime Minister potentially a little bit too hung up on establishing policies he put into place decades ago?
Some people would say this is just about Mahathir going back to the past. And I think one has to acknowledge that there is the sense of familiar that he's anchoring on. But there's also another side to this, and that it is this was an attempt to bring the country together in the 90s and the 80s. And I think we see this being the same spirit behind Vision 2025, to kind of focus on inclusiveness, focus on a kind of goal-oriented development as opposed to individual-oriented development. So I think this is something that it is important. That said, there are things that are very controversial, and I think one of those, for example, is the national car. The national car has been seen as a project that has been economically not viable. It's obviously clearly dear to Mahathir's heart, and he's unwilling to let it go. I think there will probably be a lot of debate on this. I think that one cannot assume that we're in the same time as you were in the past, where the Prime Minister says, this is what we're going to do, and everyone else is going to follow. I think that this is something that is going to have, I think, more discussion and debate. But I think the paradigm of nationalism and the paradigm of trying to bring people together around sort of building Malaysia strong again is the same sort of spirit, but it's actually taken on even a higher intensity, given the fact that Mahathir is a man in a hurry, and he is also, and so he's also trying to use nationalism to kind of bring the country together, bring his coalition together, and sort of a clear set of goals and directions.
Well, Bridget, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was Bridget Welsh, professor of political science at John Cabot University, with her take on Vision 2025. Folks, we've got some more music coming up right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.